Speaking about Prabhupada is in one sense very easy, and in another sense very, very difficult. In one sense it's easy because there's so many things to talk about. He had such a fantastic life. There's so many qualities to talk about, to discuss. But at the same time it's very difficult. One thing is, where should you start, where should you end? So I was looking on one verse in Bhagavad Gita that speaks about determination and how we get it. And as the many, many qualities that really impress me in Srila Prabhupada, his determination is definitely one of the foremost. So I'd like to read first from the second chapter called Contents of the Gita Summarized, text 44.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So I'll read this text and then I'll talk a little about Prabhupada, and then I would like all of you, while I'm speaking, to think if you have something you like to add, maybe some story you remember of Prabhupada, or something you read recently, something in one of Srila Prabhupada's purport that you found very interesting.
Ugaisvaira prasaktanam saya prarita chetasam vyavyasayatmika bhuti samadhana vidyate.
In the mind of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Purport. Samadhi means fixed mind. The Vedic dictionary, the Nirukti, says Samyak abhidyate shmin atma tattva yatatmayam. When the mind is fixed for understanding the self, it is said to be in samadhi. Samadhi is never possible for a person interested in material sense enjoyment, nor for those who are bewildered by such temporary things. They are more or less condemned by the process of material energy. So in order to get determination, there's a few previous steps we have to take. We have to become completely detached from all sense enjoyment and all material opulence, because all these things can bewilder us. So in one sense, there's nothing wrong with having them. It's nice to have material opulence. It's nice, right? But if we are attached to them, then it creates trouble in our lives. Because inevitably, it will happen that we will lose them. At one point, we will lose it. We see it all the time. Whatever we have is just like air between the fingers, or sand between the fingers, just slithers away, isn't it? We can't really keep anything. And ultimately, when we die, we leave everything behind. So we are living in a world of duality, where we are trying to find some happiness, and the same source for this happiness is the source of our distress, because we lose it. So no matter what we have, at one point we lose it, that causes distress, if it's something we like. So in order to become free from this and attain determination, we can learn a lot from the life of Srila Prabhupada. I start by explaining a little about Prabhupada, how he came into existence, and also how he developed himself as a pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada is called what is called a Nitya Siddha, means he has always been a devotee. And he came to this world with the purpose of giving this knowledge to others. Like Jesus Christ is a Nityasita. He also came for purpose of giving this knowledge. Prabhupada is in the same category. So he was born on the 1st of September in 1896. And a few days after he was born, there came an astrologer to the house. This is normal in India, right? After some few days, a pandit comes, a Jyotish pandit. He comes and he make a whole chart and he find out what will be the propensities for this child. So this astrologer, he said many things. But one of the things he said is that at the age of 70, this man will leave India, go across the ocean, and preach this message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam to the Western countries. He will open 108 temples. So this prediction, as we will hear later, came true. So as Prabhupada, he grew up a little. At one point when he was two and a half years, he got typhoid. And Prabhupada grew up in a Vaishnava family, so they were never eating meat, they were vegetarian. So the doctor came to see little Prabhupada and said the only cure for this disease is chicken soup. And Prabhupada's father said, but we can't. We never cooked any meat in our house. We can't do that. And the doctor said, he will die if he will not get chicken soup. And he said, I will cook it in my own home and I will bring it to you. So okay, Srila Prabhupada's father lent him and said, okay, you bring the chicken soup. So he gave Prabhupada this chicken soup. And immediately when it got it into his mouth, he threw up. There was actually one more instance later in Prabhupada's life when he went to Jagannath Puri as grown up. He went to Jagannath Puri and his father, he told him an address of a friend there so he couldn't go and meet him. So first time Srila Prabhupada came to Jagannath Puri and he went to this friend of his father. And he was invited for dinner and he said, yes, I would like to take dinner here. So as they were just about to eat, Prabhupada saw something in the dish. And he said, what is this? And this gentleman said, it is meat. And Prabhupada said, I never expected to find this in Jagannath Puri. So this man became a little embarrassed and said, oh, I just wanted to please you. And Prabhupada sort of like in a polite way, he said, but I can't accept this. So of course he would never eat meat, Srila Prabhupada. But sometimes he was practically forced to it, almost tricked to it. Prabhupada, he was in his father's home. They were every day, they would invite 4 to 5 people for dinner, and most of them was so-called sadhus, the devotees of the Lord. But most of them was not, they were more like bogus yogis, or they were more like playing a show so that they could get free meals wherever they went. And they would go and they would get their free meals and then would go out and smoke cigarettes and like that. And Srila Prabhupada's father, he knew this, but he still invited them in and gave them food and said afterward, please bless my son that he may become a lover of Srimati Radharani. And this happened again and again and again. So one day as a Prabhupada, he was, I think he was approximately 14 years old, maybe 16 years old. He was standing with one of his friends, Natendranath, and his friend would say to him that we should go and see this new sadhu. There's the sadhu in town, in Mumbai. So we should go there and we should see him. And Prabhupada said, well, I don't really want to, because he saw all these imitating gurus in his life, and he said he's just one more of these imitating gurus, so I don't really want to go there. So his friend, he sort of like dragged him there, and when Prabhupada came in, as is the custom, they offered respect to this sadhu sitting there. And before they got up from offering obeisances, he said, you are intelligent young persons, you should go and preach this knowledge to the Western countries. So Prabhupada thought, this is, here's a man who has some determination, as we hear of here. Here's a person who has some determination. Here's a person, this time sounds like a Vaishnava. So Prabhupada, he got up from offering obeisances, and he said, Prabhupada was at that time a follower of Gandhi. So he was dressed in this, what's it called, khadi they were wearing? This very simple clothes. So Prabhupada sort of like wanted to test him and see if he was for real. So he said that we are at this moment a dependent country. We are subjugated by the British. So we should join the movement of Gandhi and we should get independence first. Then we can go and preach philosophy to the world. No doubt we have the best philosophy, but we are now a subjugated country. So when we are free, then we can preach this knowledge. And Siddha Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, he's coming to be spiritual master. He said, no, there's no lack in this world. There's only one thing lacking, the lack of Krishna consciousness. This is the solution to all problems. When Prabhupada heard that, he immediately said, here is my spiritual master. And later he became initiated. So this is really a basic truth, that there is no lack in this world. There's nothing missing except this one thing. Because if people become Krishna conscious, we'll immediately have a good world. If people just were living after the laws of karma, understanding, if I hurt others, I'm ultimately hurting myself. Nobody likes to hurt themselves, so we would have people would become non-violent. They will think before they start violating the laws of nature. Not to speak about, we are all brothers and sisters. We all have the same father, Krishna. So if all get just this understanding, we will definitely get a better world. This is why Krishna is saying, Bhuktanam yakya chavasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridak sarva bhutanam gyatvamam santim richchatim. That if you want to attain peace, individually or collectively, there's only one way to get it. To fully understand that Krishna is the proprietor of everything. He is the purpose of all yakyas, all austerities. And he's the supreme lord of all the gods, all the demigods. There's only one god, Krishna, and there's many demigods. And they're two separate categories. So if everybody gets this understanding, there will be peace. Without this understanding, no matter what we will try, it will never succeed. It will never succeed. We will never find a glimpse of happiness without Krishna consciousness, because this is our nature. This is the nature of the soul. So Prabhupada, he said, here is my spiritual master. And later he was initiated by him. He was there was a big pandal, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was to give a lecture. And at the same time, it was announced that all the devotees would go to a temple some distance away and see some deities. So most of the devotees, they left to see the deities. But Prabhupada, he stayed there and listened. And he said later to the Prabhupada, even though sometimes I didn't even understand what he was saying, because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, was an extremely learned scholar. He learned English by putting himself in a locker, in a closet, with an English dictionary. So he was extremely intelligent. So he was speaking in Sanskrit and Bengali and in Hindi and in English. And not just English, but a very, very high level of English. So Srila Prabhupada said, even though I didn't really understand everything he was saying, I was still sitting and listening. And when later when Prabhupada was to be initiated by him, he said, yes, I have noticed him. He can listen. This is really the first prerequisite or the first rule if we want to attain anything in spiritual life. We need to develop the ability to listen. The whole thing starts with Shravana. There's 9 processes of bhakti, of devotional service. And the first and most important is Shravana. Because if we hear, we get an understanding. And with this understanding, all the doubts in our heart are taken away. The doubts in our heart is actually what keeps us away from Krishna, What keeps us away from experience the highest love, the highest ecstasy? These doubts is what takes us away from this. So knowledge we get by hearing. So by hearing we eradicate all these doubts. And when we hear, then we can speak. Shravanam Kirtanam. So Prabhupada, he became an elaborate speaker of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And a fantastic writer also. Srila Prabhupada, in his short career as a writer, he wrote 51 books, and they were translated to practically, now they're translated to practically all the countries in the world, most of them. And these books, as many of you know, has many scholars have them in very high esteem. So as everybody else would be sleeping, Srila Prabhupada would sit down and he would write these books. Prabhupada would sleep approximately 2 to 4 hours at night. So when everybody else would go to sleep, Prabhupada would sit and translate these books. There was once a person who came to Prabhupada and interviewed him. I think it was a news reporter. And he said, do you ever have doubts? He told Prabhupada. Do you ever have doubts? And Prabhupada looked at me and his eyes just opened like very wide. Doubts? How could I teach if I had doubts? No, there's no doubts. And then he pointed to all his books. There was a bookcase with all his books. He pointed it and said, could I write so many books? And this person also happened to be an author. And he said, just to write 4 books, or he said half a dozen, that's 6, huh? Just to write half a dozen books makes a great task. So Prabhupada writing 51 books. And these books are really the essence of ISKCON. This is what all in ISKCON is built on, these books. So Prabhupada has left this planet, right? But he's still here. He's still here in his books. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said a poem that he said, he reasons ill who thinks Vaishnava died. Thou living still in sound. A Vaishnava, he dies to live and lives to spread the holy names around. So this is a beautiful poem that a Vaishnava, he never dies. Actually, a great person never dies because his words never dies. Because his words have such a weight, because they're so true. There's so much weight in the words. So Prabhupada gave all this knowledge, so we can directly associate with Srila Prabhupada through his books. He will never die. He will always be there. There will always be a chance to hear from Prabhupada. So when Prabhupada, when his disciples, so later Prabhupada, he went to America. He got a free ticket on a steamship. What's it called? Steamship? Yeah. And went to America. On the way across the Atlantic, he had 2 heart attacks. And at one point, he was praying to Krishna and says, I most likely have not survived this. He was, at that point, he was 69 years old. Same night, Krishna appeared to him in a dream and said, don't worry, from now on, I'll take care of it. So the next morning, the Atlantic was like a mirror. There was not a wave there at all. And that was all the way, the rest of the way to America. Actually, the wife of the captain told us, Prabhupada, can you please go back with us? Because we never saw the Atlantic like this before. So can you please come back with us so we can have a smooth ride home also. So Prabhupada, he all of a sudden, he stood there on the harbor of New York. And there was no one. He didn't have any money. He had a few rupees, but there was nothing there. He had a box with books, a suitcase with books, and an umbrella, and some few grains. When he left Vrindavan, he didn't know if he could get anything to eat. Right? If he could get there, maybe only meat there. He was really afraid of this. But he left, because this was the instruction he got from his spiritual master. And he said, if the order is there in the spiritual master, the the power to fulfill that order is automatically there. So he was standing there all alone. And from this, he opened 108 temples in just 12 years, right, with a suitcase of books. Who here would be able to do this? Who in the whole world would be able to do this? He was 69 years old. So he could do this because he was specifically empowered by the Supreme Lord. So the first disciples who came to Prabhupada, at that time they were not disciples, but the first persons who came to Prabhupada, they immediately became attracted. They simply couldn't give up his association. In the beginning, Prabhupada, he would start the Sunday feast as we have today. And Prabhupada, he would cook the food. Then he would go in and do the bhajan. Then he would give the lecture. And then afterwards, when everybody left, he would wash the dishes. And Prabhupada was doing this for weeks. Just humbly serving, giving people Krishna consciousness, not expecting anything in return. This is really a devotee. A devotee doesn't want anything. He only wants to serve. And Srila Prabhupada said to one point when his disciples asked him, what did you ever ask your spiritual master? Srila Prabhupada said, I asked him only one thing. Any guesses? How can I serve you? This is really the only thing that is of interest. How can we serve the Supreme Lord? And Krishna says, actually you can't. He says, one who's serving me is not really my devotee. But he says, one who's serving the devotee of me, he is my devotee. Yasya prasadam bhagavat prasadam, yasya prasadam nakatikotopi. That without the mercy of the spiritual master, we will never get the mercy of Krishna. How do we get the mercy of the spiritual master? By doing service. So everybody in ISKCON, either they are initiated, whether they are initiated or not, they have Srila Prabhupada as the spiritual master. We are all Prabhupada anugas. We are all followers of Prabhupada. Because he is the one who practically sacrificed his life for us. He left Vrindavan when he was about to die. It is said when you die in Vrindavan, you are sure to go back home, back to Godhead. At that time, he went to America and started preaching to all of us. Because he had a deep compassion in his heart for all of us. He wanted to help us. Where would we be today if not for Prabhupada? I know where I would be. At least I have some quite good idea. So Prabhupada, he didn't even save our lives. Because one life comes and goes, what is that? He saved our existence. He saved our soul. So there's a way on which we can show the gratitude to Srila Prabhupada for this. Once his disciple actually asked Prabhupada this, Prabhupada, you've given us everything. How can we show our gratitude? Srila Prabhupada says, different times he said different things. One time he said, you can give this knowledge to others. Another time there was a group of book distributors. And we know Prabhupada was very fond of book distribution. And he many times he said, book distribution is the best service. So there was all these book distributors sitting there. I think it was from Germany. They were sitting there, a special darshan with Prabhupada. Only these book distributors. So they were sitting asking questions and Prabhupada was answering. And then one of them, he raised his hand and he said, Prabhupada, can you please tell us what pleases you the most? So this was a loaded question. So he wanted to hear, distribute my books, because they were book distributors. And Prabhupada says, study Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Become learned in this philosophy and give it to others. Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, gave the same instruction. Once when he was traveling in South India, Kurukshetra, he met one Brahmana called Kurma. And this, as everybody else, became very attracted to the Lord. And he wanted to follow him, give up his family, take sannyas, and just leave. And Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu said, you can't. You stay here, and then you preach. Yara dege tara kara krishna upades amara gyara guruhana tara ides. You stay here with your family, and you preach Krishna consciousness. Become learned in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and distribute it. So my dear fellow Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, this is our task. This is what we have been given by Prabhupada. He came here, gave his life for us. So what we should do is give our lives for others. We should really learn this philosophy. As I said, Prabhupada would use night when others were sleeping. He would sit translating these books. He said, these books are for the devotees. There was also at one point the book distributors. They said, Prabhupada, we are distributing all the books. Or some very big distributors. And Prabhupada says, then started to ask them questions from the philosophy, and they couldn't answer. And he said, this is not pleasing to me. I've written these books for you. I've written these books for you to understand. So there's so many of them, and they're so full of real nectar. And this nectar, it's not only nectar for the mind, it's nectar for the heart. Because what happens when we hear like this, we get a complete determination to become Krishna conscious. This is what happens. It purifies our heart, the sound vibration. Nothing is as pure as sound vibration. Everything started with sound. So the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the ultimate sound. But actually it said all of Prabhupada's books is the same. So when we are reading, when we are studying, we are chanting, we are purifying our hearts. So this is what he's been giving us. He practically sacrificed his life for this. So he would often say to his disciples that please understand this literature and give it to others. At one point in Mumbai, because we are running out of time, I'm skipping some things. When Prabhupada got very sick at the end of his life, and at that time there was a fight. Prabhupada he wanted a place in Mumbai. Actually, already when Prabhupada was in India, when he was still in India before he went to America, every day he would go to the lady who gave him a free ticket to this steamship. He would go and have some discourse with her, speak Bhagavatam. And every day he would pass the same route, of course, and he said, this place I would like to have as a temple. And this is not now what we have the Juhu temple in Mumbai. So Prabhupada, he wanted this temple in Mumbai because he understood that Mumbai is the most important city in India. So he was looking for different prospects, but he really had a affection for this specific place. And as he was looking for different, one day this person called. He's called Mr. Nair. He called, and he said, "Swamiji, I want to give you this a place for a very, very low price." And that was exactly the place Prabhupada wanted for him. And at that time, it was just some like some jungle. There was no houses there. There was no roads there. And but Prabhupada saw this will be the place. And Krishna inspired him. So Prabhupada, he was not a person to be cheated. He was extremely intelligent, very, very intelligent, very sharp. So he knew that this person is actually out of cheating. His purpose is to cheat me. And all the lawyers of ISKCON, of course there was lawyers at that time in ISKCON, they were warning Prabhupada, don't do it. This man is very powerful. He cheated so many people in the past. So he was running his own radio station at that time. He was running some of the most important newspapers. He had many, many of the highest political powers as his friends. And also it was sort of like there was many crooks, some even mafia, I think, on his pay list or at least friend list. So everybody warned Prabhupada, don't do it, he will cheat you. So he tried. Prabhupada said, okay, we take it. And he paid this man the very cheap price he wanted to sell this for. And he paid him. And then this man, he tried to cheat Prabhupada. And he actually, he got by legal means, he got the whole thing back. I'm summarizing a little. And then there was sort of like a fight going on between Prabhupada and this man. And then at one point, he just died. So we can say maybe Krishna arranged something, so he just left. And then Prabhupada got this place. So today we have this beautiful place in Juhu, and practically in the middle of Mumbai, very locally. But at that time it was just a jungle. And at that time when they got the place, he asked all the devotees to come there and live there. And I think it was Tamal Krishna, and it was Tamal Krishna Goswami, one of Prabhupada's very early disciples, leading disciples. He said, "Prabhupada, you expect us to come and live in this jungle? Like, we are from America, we are from the Western countries. There's no water, running water here. There's rats and snakes crawling all over the place. There's no real house. And how can we come and live here?" So Prabhupada said, "Don't you want purification?" So then they immediately moved there. This was actually one of the features of Prabhupada, because they knew he loved them so much. He was ready to sacrifice his life for them. They were ready to practically sacrifice their life for him. So even though all these inconveniences, his disciples moved there. And eventually they got this beautiful temple. So when Prabhupada was just about to die, to leave the body, he was in that point in Mumbai. And this temple was being constructed. So at one point he told his disciples that, "Please allow me just to see this temple being built before I leave. If I can see that, I'll be completely happy, satisfied." So the devotees and the construction workers was working 24 hours a day. Continuously working, 24 hours a day. So Prabhupada, he was lying there in his bed, he was very, very weak. At one point, I want to tell you this also. At one point, the doctor came and saw Prabhupada as he was lying there. Actually, maybe this is in Vrindavan, we'll wait with this a little. So he was lying there, and at one point he asked his disciples, that I think it's just about time now that I leave. So I will leave it up to you. Should I stay here and fight and continue, or should I go to Vrindavan and die? So imagine you get this question from a person who is so dear to you. Right? Should I stay here and fight, or should I go to Vrindavan and die? What would you? What kind of advice would you give? It's difficult, right? So one of them was saying, "Tamal Krishna Goswami, say, Prabhupada, you stay here, because if you stay here, the devotees are very enthusiastic and they will work very much, and you will see this Mumbai temple finished. And Prabhupada, if you go to Vrindavan, you go there to die. Right? But if you're here, you have something to live for. So you please stay." And others were saying, "Prabhupada, you should go to Vrindavan. You've been living a life of sacrifice. Right? You've been sacrificing your whole life." So at one point, Prabhupada says, "Okay, we will go to Vrindavan." But before, then he went to live for Vrindavan. And he was in Vrindavan, and he was getting more and more weak. And then this doctor came, and he said, he told this man should be screaming in pain. And Prabhupada was lying in the bed, translating his books. So imagine this. And then at one point Prabhupada said, because always Prabhupada, he would always get letters from all over the world, of course. And all his disciples, "Please come and see the project we have made here in New York, and please come and see the one we have here in London." And so Prabhupada got so many invitations, still he was lying there in bed. And he told his disciples, "Arrange me for a flight, I'll go to London." And the doctor says, "But Prabhupada, you're making progress now. If you leave now, we cannot guarantee you, most likely you will die." And all the disciples were pleading with Prabhupada, "Please don't go, Prabhupada, please don't go." Prabhupada was determined. Said, "My disciples are practically sacrificing their life for me. I will do anything for them. So please arrange me for going to London." So they were carrying him into the airplane. He has three seats lying in the airplane. The whole trip, and carrying him out of the airplane, bringing him to the London temple. And as always, there's a theater as Prabhupada is coming, and everybody's joyfully dancing, they're bringing him to the temple, and Prabhupada even sitting there speaking shortly to the devotees. So his plan was actually to travel all around America, to go to first in England and then to America and travel around again. He traveled the world 12 times, right? 12 times he traveled the world. And he left in the age of 69. So imagine this, traveling the world 12 times. So he was, even though he was so sick. So at one point it became just obvious, now he will leave his body. So he was, okay, let's go back to Vrindavan. So they came back to Vrindavan. And there was all these devotees came there, all the devotees, most of the devotees from all over the world came there, and his leading disciples were taking turns singing, chanting from him, reading from Bhagavatam, chanting kirtans continuously. And Prabhupada in that way left the body. Actually, at one point he asked his disciples, again, should I, will you allow me to leave now? Or would you prefer that I stay living, so to say? And again, the disciples had the discussion, right? What should we do? Can we really ask the Prabhupada to stay alive when he's suffering like this? So-called, he was not suffering. But we cannot ask him to leave. What will we do without him? So at one point they said, okay, we go in and we tell him to please stay. So then they said, Tamal Krishna Goswami, you go and you say. So they all went in there, and Tamal Krishna Goswami was standing there, and he just couldn't speak. Tears was flowing from his eyes, tears were flowing from all the eyes of the devotees, just crying, couldn't speak. Prabhupada looked at them, so what do you want? And eventually Tamal Krishna Goswami said, please stay, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, okay, if that is what you want, I'll stay. Please bring me some juice. At that point, he hadn't been eating anything or drinking anything. Very, very little drinking, but no eating for 2 months. So then he got some juice and he's got his strength back. And then, but then after some time, of course, he left. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So it's a. This should actually be our constant meditation. Remember what Prabhupada did for us. And if you do that, we can help others get the same. We have been given this most fantastic cure for all diseases. Right? There's no problems in a devotee's life. Nothing. Right? The only problems we have is from the mind, wherever it's situated. Right? It's only the mind. And the whole process of Krishna consciousness is about controlling the mind. But that takes determination. So I'll read the verse again. Bhogaisvara prasaktanam taya pravita tesasam vyavyasa yatmika buddhi sabadav navidhyate. In the mind of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.